This morning, we're going to continue our study in the parables. As you probably figured from our scripture reading just a few minutes ago. And as an introduction to that, I'd like to for you to think with me just a minute about the concept of grace. I think of all the Christian virtues or concepts that we think about, grace may be one of the harder ones for us to really accept in our lives. Because it sometimes goes against what we might think about. And definitely, as we'll see, goes against the ways of the world and the values of the world around us. Do we see our lives and things around us being just and fair? We'd like for them to all be fair and just, but do we see the things around us being that way? And how much does that matter to us, to see things as being fair and just around us? Sometimes we want things to be one way for other people and maybe a different way for ourselves. And the grace of God, the idea of grace is simply the idea of favor from God that we don't really earn or deserve. Now we see this in other people, even the grace that we give people. Sort of the idea of forgiveness goes along with that. But sometimes we have a tendency to maybe want that for ourselves, but maybe it's a little harder for us to see the idea of giving grace to someone else, especially someone that we don't think deserves it. And we think things need to be fair and just. And sometimes it's hard for us to get the idea that the grace of God is really for everyone, and it's the idea that it's not earned or merited or deserved. Is God's free gift through our belief in Jesus Christ. One of the things we'll see in the parable as we go through this lesson is that through grace, we're all level before God. And that's the key to our fellowship, that we can all be the same before God because we stand before God by His grace, and we receive His grace not because of what we've done. When some of us are better than others, some of us may have studied the Bible longer than others and know more than others. That's not how we receive the grace of God. We receive it through what Christ did. And because we receive it through what Christ did, we can all be the same before God. We'll see a couple of the passages in Galatians, one of my favorites. It says, "But now through faith, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God, or children of God, through faith. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And that's really the message, the parable, one of the messages. We'll see a few more as we go through the parable. But the idea of this oneness, that we can all be the same, because we stand before God, not because we deserve it, because we've done great things, but because of what Christ did for us. Now, as we look through the parables, we're going to see in this parable the idea that the things of the world and the values of the world are different from God's values. And sometimes that's hard for us to see. We have a tendency to view things like sort of like the world and even want to bring them into the church sometimes. We'll see that today. In Luke chapter 16, there's a number of little parables, but in verse 14, it says the Pharisees loved money. Well, most of us probably might fall into that category too. But Jesus says, "What is highly valued among men, or what the world highly values, is detestable in God's sight." One of the ideas we see is the different values in the reign of God from the way the world is. And detestable is a pretty strong word, but that's where Jesus leads us to. The kingdom of God then is not according to the ways of this world. It's a different set of values. The reign of God means different than the way the earthly values are. Now if you look over to chapter 20 of Matthew, we look at the parable of the workers. And as we looked last week, to understand any of the parables, you need to know what lays beside the parable. The word parable means to go along with. What goes along with this parable? There's actually two other stories, one before it and one after, that Matthew sort of sandwiches in this parable. In the very end of chapter 19, he ends chapter 19 with these words, he said, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now, if you remember from the reading of the parable of the workers, he ends with exactly that same sentence. So we know what went before. Really, it's the same thought. Well, what did go before? Well, it's a story most of us have heard before. A rich young man comes up to Jesus, and he asks Jesus, this is in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16. It says, Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, Jesus first says, you know, why do you call me good? Only one is good. But then he answers the young man. He says, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. Now, there's a little thing that he says here. Notice, a lot of times when we see the words eternal life, we have this tendency to just think about heaven. That's not what the young man was asking. He wasn't asking about just heaven. He was asking about really the life of the reign of God that Jesus has been talking about. Because notice how Jesus answers it. If you would enter life, in other words, you can have this now. Jesus is not talking about just heaven. He's talking about the abundant life, the real life, true life now that leads to heaven. And that's what the reign of God is really all about, is having that kind of life now. So Jesus says, if you would enter life, if you would start your path to true life, keep the commandments. And he goes on and he lists a number of the Ten Commandments. And the young man says, I did all that stuff. I kept all those commandments. But what do I still lack? And here the key word is lack. There's something lacking in my life. I know that. I've kept all the commandments. I've kept all the laws of Moses. Here's a young man. He was rich. He was very religious. The way the world would view this young man, I mean, he's got to be what we call the first. But notice what Jesus says. If you would be perfect, and the word perfect here can also be translated as complete. Often, when you see the word perfect in scriptures, it has that idea of perfection and completion. Because anything that's not complete would not be perfect. And so perfect means not just what we might call good, but complete. If you would be perfect or complete, go sell all that you have, this young man was rich, and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, come and follow me. In other words, let God reign in your life instead of the world. You're letting all the things in this world come over to me. And if you know what the young man did, it says he was sorrowful because he went away because he was rich. In other words, he couldn't let go of all the things of the world. Disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, if this guy couldn't come into your kingdom, if this guy couldn't be saved, who's going to make it? Who can be saved? Here was a man that was rich, and we look up to rich people. They did too. Here was a man that was very religious. He had kept all the commandments. The way the world would have said things, this guy deserves to go to heaven. Too often, we have sort of the idea, well, if somebody lives a good life, they're going to go to heaven. And that's, you know, if this guy's not going to make it, who's going to make it? And Jesus goes on and says, you have left everything for me, and you will receive reward. And then he ends with, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. In other words, my kingdom is not judged the way the world is. Yes, in the world, this young man would have been first. But to come into my kingdom, you must be willing to become last. And we'll go through that, exactly what he means by that. The other story that goes along with the parable comes after the parable. And here, James and John come up to Jesus, and they ask Jesus, Jesus, when you come in your final kingdom, can we, one of us be on your right and your left? Can we have the prominent places in your kingdom? Now, some would say, well, see, they were looking for an earthly kingdom. But remember, they'd been with Jesus now 3 years. They understood the kingdom. Jesus had been teaching them the kingdom for 3 years, and he didn't send them out to teach the kingdom. They knew what the kingdom was. What was their problem? The problem was they were bringing earthly values into God's kingdom. They were bringing the idea of they wanted special honor or prestige. They wanted power. And we see that even today, from that day on in the church, it's always there. Politics, so to speak, is still within the church today. A few years after Jesus leaves, the church would all of a sudden have elders, and then they would have bishops and archbishops and cardinals. They would build a hierarchy. And we still see that today in the church. People want special honor. They want special power. And that's what James and John wanted. They wanted really what we might call those values of the world into the Lord's kingdom. And so they asked Jesus, let us be on your right and your left. And notice how Jesus answers them. This comes over in the very towards the end of chapter 20. And Jesus called them to him. He says, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles, and here the rulers of the world, the values of the world, really, they lord it over them. And the great ones want to exercise authority over them. And that's what you see in the world. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great must first be your servant. And whoever would be first must be your slave or be last. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Here Jesus really gets into what is first must be last. And what is last will be exalted to be first. And we start seeing what does he mean by this idea of first will be last and last will be first. Now look back with me to the parable that we'll look at today. In the parable, as we just read, it's a story about a day's work. And it's the kind of thing that most of us can't even relate to. I don't know if you've ever actually worked out in the field farming all day long. I've done it only a few times in my life. But it's not much fun. And you can understand why farmers don't like to be farmers anymore. Like to do something else. Farming's tough work. You're out there all day long. You think about Florida, even I grew up in South Carolina. It was even hot up there in the summertime. And you're out there all day long, and farming is not easy. And that's what the parable is about the workers. And notice how this parable starts. The kingdom of heaven, again, the reign of God. It's like the master goes out and he hires. Now, the first guys he hires, it says, they agreed to work for denarius. Now, that's an important part. They agreed to that. In other words, he goes out and he bargains with them, and they go out and they're going to work. They don't work 8 hours like most of us, or maybe nine. They work 12 hours. 12 hours in their work day. Nice long work day. And so they go out, and then a few hours later, he hires a few more. And notice what he says, I will pay you whatever is right. And if you go through the whole story, you know, he keeps on hiring people all the way to the 11th hour. On the 11th hour, these guys only have to work an hour. But again, he just says, I'll pay you whatever's right. Just go work for me. And so then he calls them all in and he pays them. From the first to the last, they all get paid. And they all get one denarius, one day's wage. A denarius was basically a coin to represent a one day's wage. But notice what he says to those that he hired first. And this is in verse 11, if you look down. It says, on those they receiving it, they grumbled. Now remember, they had negotiated their wage. He was paying them exactly what they negotiated some 12 hours before. And they said, those who worked only 1 hour, you have made them equal to us. And that's what God's grace is all about. You have made these equal to us. It doesn't say you made us lower to them, but you've made us equal to us. In other words, grace raises us all up to the same level. A lot of times in our school system, we've gone to this, almost this idea of a lowest common denominator kind of thing, and everybody gets lowered down. But God's grace doesn't lower anyone down. It raises everyone up to the same level. And that's what these workers said. You've raised all the workers up to the same level. You've made us all equal. And that's what God's grace does. It brings us all equality. And that's the key to our fellowship. Because since we all stand before the Lord, not on the basis of what we've done, but on the basis of what He's done for us, we can all be equal before the Lord. And so we can have the kind of fellowship we have. There's another idea that comes through this parable that you may have seen if you think about it. And one author put it as a fidelity of opportunity. Now, I admit when I read that phrase, it was not a phrase I would have come up with myself. I don't use the word fidelity very much in my talking. I don't know if you have ever looked at what the word fidelity means. We use it a couple of different ways, but the primary meaning of the word fidelity is faithful in service or to your obligations. Faithful to your obligations. And that runs through this parable too. Notice that all those who were called, that were given the opportunity, they all went. They all did their master's bidding. Part of the idea in the parable too is that we're faithful to what our master calls us to do. We're all together. We all, by grace, are raised to the same level. But we're all called to be a part of the Lord's kingdom, to have that purpose about us, and to be faithful to whatever we're called to do. Whether or not we're called in the last hour with only an hour's worth of work, or called in the first hour with 12 hours worth of work, we need to all be faithful to the call of our Lord, because we're all raised up by grace to our Lord. In Ephesians, Paul goes through the same idea. If you look over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and through the book of Ephesians almost is a parallel to the whole parable that we've just went through. But if you look over to Ephesians 2, I'm going to begin in verse 8. And then I'm going to go over to the end. There's actually a few more verses, but it's just... These were the key ones, I thought. It said, "For grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that anyone can boast." Grace is the gift of God, so we don't boast about it. It's nothing we can brag about. But he goes on, and notice what he says next. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do." Not only are we saved by grace, but we ourselves, the talents that we have, the opportunities, everything about us has been given to us by God. We are His workmanship. So there's no way that we can boast in what we have. If someone is a great song leader like Tyrone, he can't boast in that because I don't sing as good as he does. I don't sing, as you can tell, as good as Tyrone. He's got that gift. Others of us have other gifts. The whole point is that we're all, these gifts have all come to God for us, and they're all for the benefit of the body of Christ. And so we're to use those as the body of Christ. We're to use those for each other. Look over to verse 16. "For whom in Christ, who is the head," as we read in the beginning of Colossians just a few minutes ago, "the whole body," that is the church, "is joined and held together by every joint which is equipped. When each part," that means each one of us, "is working properly, making the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So we're all, by grace, raised up to this level, all given a part to do in the body according to the gifts or the workmanship of God. So we don't get to boast because some of us can do some things better than others, because that's all gifts from God. It's not of ourselves. And the very idea that we're all together and through is by the grace of God, not because one of us deserves more than another. We're all together in the Lord, being built together. And here Paul uses the example of a body. And that body, all the parts of the body's got to work together for the body to be what it can be. And that's what we are in the Lord, through grace in our Lord and Savior. And through the fidelity of opportunity, being faithful to the obligations that the Lord has given to each one of us. This morning, this is a very simple parable. If you go back and even read it sometime this week, the idea is the picture that's painted by Jesus is one we can all recognize. The idea of going out and working a day, you can all think of each one in the parable. The guys that went out and worked 12 hours, how they felt at the end of the day. And the guys that went out 1 hour, how happy they were to receive that one denarius, just like the guys that had worked 12 hours. It's a parable that we can all associate with. But an idea behind it is the grace of God, which may not be an easy thing for us to accept. Because sometimes it just doesn't seem fair to us or just to us for everybody to receive the grace. But remember that grace is not bringing everybody down to the same level, but it's raising everybody up to the same level. And that's all the gift of God. that we're all raised to the same level, that they were all children of God. That's why I love that passage in Galatians, because it's such a beautiful passage to think about. We're all children of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And that is what grace is all about, that we, every one of us, can be part of the family of God with Jesus as our brother, under the guardianship of our Father in heaven. And that is what grace is all about. This morning, if you're sort of like the rich young man that comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to enter life?" Keep the commandments of God, have faith in Jesus Christ, and through that faith in Jesus, know that the grace of God will bring you salvation. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, never put Him on in baptism so that you could truly be a child of God, there's never a better time than right now. Or if you've been part of the Lord's, but you haven't been faithful, fidelity of opportunity hasn't been your call in life, you haven't met your obligations to the Lord, then why not come back to Him today? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come? Together, we stand and sing. Marvelous grace.